Now we want to turn our thoughts to the fourth chapter of James, beginning with verse 13. I'll read a little passage here. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's reading from verse 13 through verse 17 of the fourth chapter of James. We've often heard it said, and I want to say it again in connection with this passage of Scripture, that there's no time like the present to do anything that needs to be done. And that now is the time to do it. There's an old saying, older than perhaps the oldest person in here in my age put together, that procrastination is the thief of time. Yeah. Well, that's self-evident. But procrastination will steal more than that from you, more than time. It'll steal your opportunities. It'll steal your chances for doing what you had in mind to do. That brings into focus a text that's over in the 17th chapter of Job. And it says, my days are past, my purposes are broken off. And then it says, in the last verse of that chapter, now, as for my hope, who shall see it? For our rest shall be together in the dust. Our hopes, our aims, our purposes, our ambitions, our desires. There's a time to attend to those things, and when that time is past, the opportunity is gone for attending to those things. Amen. So procrastination steals more than time from you. It'll steal your chance of doing what you had in mind to do, whether that's the salvation of your soul, whether that's the improvement of your spiritual life, whether that's the correction of something in your life that needs correcting, whether it's a victory that you need to gain, or a deliverance that you need to seek, whatever it is, procrastination will steal that away from you, the chance of doing that and fulfilling that. My father used to say to me, son, live every day just like it is the last day you had to live.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Well, now, I wonder, My father admonished me that way because he realized my last day would come sometime. And he didn't want me to get slipped up on. So he said, just live every day like it was the last one. I wonder if we all knew that this was the last day that we'd have to live. What would we be doing? How would we be spending our time? I dare say there are folks in here, maybe all of us, that would be shuffling around a little bit and maybe making some adjustments here and some adjustments there. This is the last day of God. Well, I feel like my father did me a good service when he told me that. And my father has been gone now. Let's see, he passed away in 49. About 33 years last January 30th. But that admonition he gave to me is just as fresh in my mind now as it was as he was giving it to me along at different times. Amen. During his lifetime. Now the reason he did this and admonished me that way is, as I already mentioned, he knew my last day would come sometime. And that I wouldn't know just when it was here. You see, your last day won't have a sign hung on it. This is your last day. Do whatever you've got to do. You won't know when your last day is here. So, the thing for us to do is to do what we have to do now. That's the Amen. Best time. Now is always the best time. Amen. Now is also the real time and the only time. We don't have any other time but now. Brother George Harmon used to say that yesterday is past, tomorrow is eternity just hidden from your view. Now is your time. Now, these things happen to people. Their last day overtakes them. This passage that I read admonishes you and me that we don't know one thing about tomorrow. We can't read the future 1 hour ahead. He said, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow. We'll go such and such a place and do such and such a thing. Stay over there a year. And he says, you don't even know one day ahead what tomorrow brings. Things slip up on people suddenly. They go out of this world without much notice. Some of them without any. Yeah. I've seen them just drop and be gone. Fellow sitting just 2 chairs from me in a meeting one night. I'd been called on to speak there. And I'd made my little speech. Sat down. He got up. And he had a speech to make in that program. He stood up to the desk to speak, and he kind of weaved around a little bit and steadied himself on the desk and started on to speak, and weaved around a little more and just dropped right there, and he was dead. Well, he didn't know that was his last day. And he exited from this world without any notice at all. My brother-in-law was out mowing his lawn one day in Pomona, California. And his wife said that she noticed that the mower just kept running in one spot. It wasn't moving around like it had been. And she went and looked, and there Henry was, just dropped dead right there in the yard behind that mower. Well, he didn't know that was his last day either. But it all sums up to the fact. Now, you know, Jesus admonished us about this numbers of times. He spoke about the last days and that it'd be like it was in the days of Noah and how they married and were given in marriage and they built it and did this and that just like ordinary folks do under ordinary circumstances. And they did not know till the flood came and took them all away. And he said, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
Amen.
In other words, don't get slipped up on. Those people got slipped up on. He gave us in the 25th chapter of Matthew the lesson about the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish virgins that came up after the door was closed and locked, and they began to knock and say, open to us, we want in too. The others had already gone in. He says, I don't know you. You're workers of iniquity, depart from me. Then he said it again, watch. Therefore, for ye know not when the Son of Man cometh. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the latter part of that chapter, he told about how that the kingdom of heaven was like unto a man taking a, or the Son of Man was like a man taking a far journey in. And he delivered to his servants, their instructions and his goods and so on, and told them to keep those things and commanded the porter to watch. Then he said, watch you. You watch now. For the Son of Man will come maybe at morning, maybe at the cock crowing, maybe in the evening, maybe at noon, midday. He's going to come anytime. So watch. Be alert. Don't get slipped up on. You see, the fact is, he'll come in all those times, taking the world around. It'll be morning some places and evening some places, day some places, night some places. He'll come in all of those different periods, the world around. But he said, you watch, be alert, don't get slipped up on. The 21st chapter of Luke, he spoke about the snare that would come upon the face of the whole earth and said, you watch, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with serveting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come on you unawares. Don't get slipped up on, see. He gave a number of circumstances and conditions and things that had happened to different people along the line and different illustrations and all trying to get it over to you and me that now's our time, today's our day, and just don't get slipped up on because your last day is going to come. And he doesn't want you and me taken unawares. Peter said that we were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, when is the last time? I don't know when it is, and you don't either. So the important thing is to be ready all the time. Anytime, every time. Ready to be revealed in the last time. I don't know when my last time is. So I just have to be alert and watching and praying. He said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Jesus taught a watchful life as much as anything else. And you and I are to live circumspectly and watching and praying and alert and careful about our lives. I remember my father talking to me one day when he was at an advanced age. He said, son, said, the older I get, the more closely I examine my life, day by day. He said, I just go back over everything, examine everything, see if my attitudes were right, and see if I did just right in this or in that, and so on. He says, I'm more particular about that as the days go by. He was getting down there to where he knew most any day would be his last day in his advanced age. And he says, I just go over and over everything in my life more carefully the older I get. And as the days go by, I believe that's good policy for me too. And I believe that's good policy for you. And that it's important that you and I consider the will of God in our lives. He says, you know not what'll be on the morrow, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that.
Amen.
Folks, we all need to be more attentive to the will of God in our lives than what we are. I believe I can say that. You too, preacher. We all need to be more attentive to the will of God in our lives than what we are sometimes. We're so inclined to make our own plans and do our own things and paddle our own canoes and go our own ways. And if we're not careful, we'll forget to consider the will of God in what I'm planning to do.
Amen.
What I'm purposing here. The will of God is the all-important thing in every child of God's life.
Yes.
We should count it that way. Jesus said, it's not to him that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, that shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, he's reiterating to God there that sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not. Then he said, a body thou hast prepared me. And when he said above, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings for sin thou wouldest not, or didn't have any pleasure in, then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. It's through Jesus doing the will of God that I'm saved today.
Amen.
And that's the reason you're saved too. It's because Jesus did the will of his Father.
Amen.
Carried out the will of his Father and brought to pass a way and a means for us to have access to God, and that we might be saved. And now God doesn't have any more sons to give to this world. But it's through you and me doing His will that's pointing other souls to the Christ of God, to the way of salvation. Through our letting our light shine and doing His will. Therein is God glorified when you and I do His will. I say the will of God is the paramount, uppermost thing in every child of God's life. And people are going to miss it because they don't do the will of God in their lives. It's important that we consider the will of God in all that we plan and purpose. And all that we do. There's a text in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, verse 5, I believe it is, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." Now what does that mean? Simply means what I'm talking about. Seek the will of God in all your ways and everything. Consult God about all your plans and purposes of life. Take Him in as a partner. God wants to be a partner with you in your life. And He wants to be taken into consideration in all your plans and purposes of life. In all our ways, acknowledge Him. In other words, consult Him. Seek counsel from Him. Seek divine guidance. And seek to know the will of God concerning all of the things that you plan and purpose in life. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll live and do this or that.
Amen.
The psalmist said, Psalms 39:4, said, "Make me to know mine end and the number of my days, that I may know how frail I am." Now here the psalmist is going right down the line of this passage I read to you this morning in my little message this morning. The psalmist is going right down the same line. "Make me to know mine end and the number of my days, that I may know how frail I am." Have you ever considered how frail humankind is? You, me, everybody. We just kind of have a habit of, because we're alive and well, we just think we're going to live on. And we make our plans and everything just like we were going to live forever. But have you ever considered how frail you are? We feel pretty self-sufficient sometimes, don't we? I hear people say to me sometimes, "I can do anything I'm big enough to do." Well, just kind of self-sufficient. But now, how frail are we? We're just this frail. There's one breath between you and eternity all the time.
Amen.
Just one. And that breath is in the hands of another. God.
Amen.
It's God that gives us our life and our breath. It's in God that we live and move and have our being. And that next breath, the only thing that stands between you and eternity, it's in the hands of God, and any time He'd see fit to hold up that next breath, you'd just be there.
Amen.
That'd be it. Now, that's just how frail we are. Make me to know mine end and the number of my days. The psalmist said again in Psalm 119, verse 84. He said, how many are the days of thy servant? My text this morning, this passage I read, said we don't know about tomorrow. We know not what shall be on tomorrow. The wise man Solomon says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Whatever you're going to do, do it now. This is the time.
Amen.
Jesus taught us this. He said, give us this day our daily bread. Give me what I need now. Let us seek Him for what we need now. This day. Not tomorrow, but today. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is admonishing you and me and warning us here about getting our days mixed up. And our yesterdays and todays and tomorrows. Getting them all jumbled up. Keep our days straight. And live today. One old Greek philosopher said, perform thy worst tomorrow, I've lived today. Do our best today. David Madden said to me once, I went into the Tulsa chapel there in Oklahoma, and he was sitting right down on the front seat and out against the aisle, and I went down and tapped him on the top of the head and held out my hand. I said, how you doing, Davy? Well, he said, I guess I could do better. And I said, if you could do better, why don't you? Well, that's fair, isn't it? If we think we could do better, why don't we do better? We ought to perform our best today. Be our best all the time for God. We don't know what will be on tomorrow. But the psalmist here was pressing to know how many days he had, how much time he had left. Well, God never really answered that for him. But that's a pretty good thing for you and me to be inquiring into. My days are passing, how many do I have left? And to make the best use of our time while we have it. And surely the very best thing that we can do in life and in the use of our time is to seek the will of God in all of our plans and purposes and all of our doings, and to have our lives in order, be like old Brother Robinson back in Oklahoma City years ago. He said, I'm prayed up, packed up, and ready to go up. And that's the way we ought to live every day.
Amen.
All the time. In our lives. Let's stand and sing a verse or two or something now. See if there's anybody here that has any needs in your life this morning and wants to take care of them today.